that special this morning, and thank you also for jumping in a little last minute. Winsome Spence was supposed to sing this morning for Grandparents Sunday, but she's not feeling well, homesick. So thank you for jumping in and singing. What a wonderful blessing. Just one more announcement. On Saturday, September the 13th, from 11 o'clock in the morning till noon, the Furnoat family would love for you to come to by the church for a time of fellowship and for cake to wish Mr. Furnoat a happy 90th birthday. So Mr. Furnoat's turning 90 years old this week, I believe. And so on September the 13th, if you can come by from 11 o'clock till noon and wish him a happy birthday, I know it'd be a blessing to him. Let's take our Bibles together, if we could, for our message to 2 Timothy. Would you turn there? 2 Timothy in our Bibles in the fourth chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read just a couple of verses here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 7 together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. The Bible says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful for the sunshine. We're grateful for the new day and that your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that it would be that which would draw us closer to you, that we would make decisions this morning to draw closer to you. And I pray that you'd be glorified with our response to your word. I pray you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground and that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Grandparents' Day reminds us of the blessing of age and the importance of legacy. I heard the story of an older gentleman who signed up for a 5K community race, and he told his family, who were very worried about him, he says, don't worry, I'm going to finish strong. And they got all excited. They imagined that he had trained hard and that he was going to surprise everyone. Well, the race began, and sure enough, when he saw the finish line, he broke into a full sprint and he pumped his arms and he charged ahead with everything that he had. And the crowd was cheering, his family was clapping until he ran straight past the finish line and right to the refreshment table. When they asked what happened, he smiled and said, listen, I told you I was going to finish strong. I didn't tell you where. Now, Paul had finished the right course. He had been involved in the fight that God had placed him in. It was where God wanted him to be. And I understand that we are indeed living in a sin-cursed world. And because of that, unfortunately, not all relationships are right, and you may not have the ability this morning to contact your grandkids. Maybe you live far away from them, but we can still live a life of faith, and we can still live a life of trust. And maybe you don't even have grandkids this morning. Maybe this morning you don't even have kids, and that's okay. Don't tune me out this morning. The reality is that we can find truth that's relevant for our life through the Bible. And so we want to not just start well in the Christian life. Our thought is that we also want to finish well. Now, Paul is nearing the end of his life. He's evaluating his life. He's evaluating his goals, his purpose. Now, did Paul have regrets? Absolutely. Paul had lots of regrets. And I think all of us this morning have regrets. But Paul didn't allow those regrets to impact his future race. Someone has said it this way, no amount of regret changes the past. No amount of regrets change the past, and no amount of anxiety changes the future. But any amount of gratitude will change your present. And Paul was thankful. With a thankful heart, he kept running the race set before him. He kept on fighting the fight set before him. And he reached the end. Can I remind you that Paul kept growing and working on himself? I think this is normal. I think the older we get, the problem is we think everyone else is the problem. And we stop looking at our own life. We stop focusing on ourselves. I heard the story of an old man who went to the doctor and he complained. He said, "Doc, you got to help me. My wife's hearing is so bad she can't hear a thing I say." And the doc said, "Well, bring her in." And the man said, "Well, I don't need to bring her in. I already know what's wrong with her." The doctor replied, "Well, let's test it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand 20 feet away and ask her a question and then move closer until she responds." So that night, the man stood 20 feet away in the kitchen and said, "What's for dinner?" No response. He moved closer to 10 feet and he says, "What's for dinner?" Still nothing. And finally, the man stood right behind his wife and showed it, "What's for dinner?" And his wife turned around and said, "For the third time, we're having chicken." Now, we don't want to end our race on the grumpy side. We want to end our race with joy. The Bible says of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says, "So that I might finish my course," not only finish my course, but he says, "I want to finish my course with joy. I want to be joyful." Now, historians would guess that the Apostle Paul at this particular time in his life was about 60 years old, maybe a little older than 60 years old. He wanted to end his race with joy in his heart. I think growing old is hard. They say it's certainly not for the young. Someone has suggested that growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. I think that's true. Someone has said, "Do not regret growing older. It's a privilege denied to many people." The reality is that we want to use the influence that we have in our life to honor the Lord. And I want us to look at some thoughts from Paul's life. Number one, I think, first of all, the fight of faith. He says, "I have fought a good fight." Now, this "good" is not speaking of his performance, but the race itself. It was a good fight that he was involved in. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you are also involved in a good fight. It is a good fight, but it is a fight nonetheless. We are involved in a battle, and there's the reality of the battle. Someone has suggested the Christian life is not a playground, but it's a battleground. And Paul faced trials, and he faced persecutions and false teachers and even betrayal, and yet Paul continued on. I know that many of you have faced some hard times in your life. Some of you are facing hard times in your life as I speak. You're facing trials and difficulty. Some of you are facing trials with your family. Some of you are facing trials with your health and trials with your children. Some believe that after Paul had turned from Judaism to Christianity, that his entire family had turned away from him. And when he wrote from a Roman jail cell that "all has forsaken me," that it could have been, he could also have been talking about his very own family had turned away from him. And if that's you this morning, my heart breaks for you. It's not right, but it happens in our world. But Paul endured much in his life. Can we turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 11? 2 Corinthians 11, and notice what the scriptures say in verse 23. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And look what the Bible says in verse number 23. Paul's testimony is before us. And he writes in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths off, or the threat of death he's talking about there. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeyings often, and perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, and beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul says, who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Paul had many battles that he was fighting. And some of you have fought battle after battle. You've faced a lot of hurts. You've encountered a lot of hardships, said goodbye to a lot of people. And here you are today, still in the battle, and I commend you. I commend you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, thou therefore, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I can say Paul was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I think Paul was involved in the battle, but also he was involved in the right battle. Paul didn't waste his life fighting the wrong battle, battles that do not matter in the scope of eternity. No, Paul fought for souls. He fought for truth. He fought for the gospel. He lived his life for eternity. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. He told the church at Philippi, I press toward the mark. And your family sees what you stand for and what you fight for and what's important to you. And so may it always be for truth and righteousness. And Paul, he was involved in a battle, but not only is he involved in a battle, but he's in the right battle. He's fighting for the Lord. He's on the Lord's side. Secondly, I think we notice the finish of his course, the finish of the course. In verse number 7, he says, I have finished my course. Now, the course isn't a sprint to the finish line. It's a marathon. It's one day at a time. It's one step at a time. A doctor told an older patient, you need to slow down. At your age, you could fall, and it could be very serious. And to which the man replied, listen, at my age, standing still can be very serious. It's a daily walk. It's a daily trust. It's a daily faith. And Paul, he says, I finished my course. Can I remind you this morning that this course is personal? It's personal. Paul didn't run Peter's race or John's race. He ran his own race, the race that was set before him. God has a unique race for each of us. Peter, in John chapter 21, verse 20, he took a look at John and he asked Jesus as John was walking by, he says, what will this man do? I think it's a valid question. I mean, he is the one whom Jesus loved. He is the one who is the writer of the Gospel of John. He wrote 3 epistles and the book of Revelation. I mean, what course will he take, Jesus? What trials will he take, Lord? What burdens will he bear? What death will he die? And Jesus said, Peter, I'll paraphrase it for you, that's none of your business. You just follow me. You just stay on your course. You just run the race set before you. And we all have a course today, and all of us have different burdens that we're bearing and trials and obstacles in our life, obstacles that you have, I don't have, and I have that you don't have. I mean, when I look at the Bible and I look at Job's course, I say, wow, how does he bear all of these things? I look at Abraham's course and say, how could a man believe God to follow him not knowing where he was going? I look at Sarah's course, and I think, how could she laugh at God Almighty? I look at Eunice's course and think, how could she raise a preacher boy all by herself? I look at Ruth's race and I think, how could she leave everything that she had ever been taught her whole entire life? How could she turn all away from all of those things and turn to the living God? And the answer is always the same. It is the grace of God every moment of every day. God gives us the grace to run our race, to run our course. And I think this course is personal, but I think also this course is purposeful. Paul's life was guided by God's call, not personal ambition. He wasn't aimless. He lived for the desire and the purpose of God's glory. Can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, and notice what Paul said here in the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the first letter he wrote to the church at Corinth. He writes in chapter 9 of verse 26, chapter 9 of verse 26. He says this, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so run I, not as one that beateth the air. The idea there is that Paul ran his race with purpose. He ran it with purpose. His passions were guided by purpose. He ran for the Lord. But not only was this course personal, and not only was this course purposeful, but also this course is possible. It is possible by the grace of God. Paul finished. He didn't quit. He continued. He writes in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn there. You're close by. 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 10. Paul said this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now I want to remind you that this is not an attitude of surrender. This is not Paul saying, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I give up, Lord. No, this is an attitude of gratitude. I am what I am because of God's grace. I'm here because of God's grace. And every grandparent has influence. You have influence in prayer. You have influence in counsel. You have influence in example. And may you not run as fast. May you not run for your own ambition and for your own purpose, but may you faithfully run for the purposes of the Lord to the very end. May you continue faithful by the grace of God. By the grace of God. I want us to turn to the book of Titus. Can we notice what the Bible says here? The book of Titus in the second chapter. Titus chapter 2. And notice the example in the church of, as the Bible calls, aged men and women. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 2. The Bible says that the aged men be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. What a wonderful example we could have in our life. What a wonderful blessing that we can be to other people around us as we live for the glory of God. You know, I've had the opportunity to be ministering here at Kitchener Baptist Church for over 20 years. And I have done funerals of individuals over the years of those who have finished well. And it has been a privilege to preach their funeral. They have taught me over the years to keep running for the glory of God. Many had suffered great trials and great difficulties and great tribulations in their life, and yet they have taught me that through all of those things, God's grace is sufficient, and that we can keep running for the glory of God. I think Paul kept the faith, thirdly. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, I've kept the faith. What did Paul keep? What did he guard? He kept the faith, the truth. And we notice the treasure of truth. Paul guarded that gospel message. He didn't compromise it. He didn't water it down. He kept that truth, and he lifted that banner high. Yesterday, I had the privilege to preach the funeral for Katie Martin. Katie was a wonderful Christian woman. She was 101 years old. She was a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And someone was saying to me at the end of that funeral, when it was all done, they said how she must have seen the world change at 101 years old. Seeing the world at war, seeing technology increase, but also seeing the spiritual condition of people throughout the years. People caring less about church and about God and about truth. Caring less about holding the banner high in our day. About being an example to those around us, the children around us, and church and community. Oh, how she must have seen this world change. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we must treasure the truth today. We must treasure the truth. I think also we notice a testimony of trust. He lived consistently, faithful in doctrine and duty. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, he writes to Timothy, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Notice he says, you have fully known, no secrets, no hidden agenda, no hypocrisy. You've fully known my life, Timothy. What I believe and how I live. And I say, when those around you won't hear what you have to say, and that happens a lot. People don't want to hear what we have to say. They cannot ignore a life that's lived for God. And so I say, be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to God. We see in Paul's life a testimony of truth and a treasure of truth as he lifted up the banner of the Lord. And then fourthly, I'll be done here. Number four, notice the future crown, verse number 8. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown." I think Paul could see the finish line at this point in his life. "I have run," he says, "I have fought." He says, "I have finished." And it's not based on my performance, it's based on God's promises. And he says in the scripture that there is a reward awaiting, not a crown of gold, not a crown of silver, it's a crown of righteousness. May I remind you this morning that God rewards faithfulness, not fame and fortune. God rewards faithfulness. Can we go to Mark chapter 9? This is a great verse in our Bible. It's the words of our Savior. And I want you to read it with me here. Mark chapter 9. And notice what the scriptures say. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Notice what the scriptures say. The ninth chapter of the book of Mark, the 41st verse, it says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you," look at this, "he shall not lose his reward." From a cup of water, God remembers a cup of water given in his name. We will be rewarded from the righteous judge, the Bible says. And we will be rewarded fully and fairly. You know, I think sometimes we have this warped perception. We might see this big name preacher on television, and and he's preaching the gospel and God may be blessing him or whatever the case is, and we think all the rewards that they're going to get in heaven, wow, all the rewards that they're going to get in heaven, and when we get to heaven, we might be surprised. We might be shocked to see some elderly woman who faithfully prayed for that man's ministry, who faithfully, consistently lifted him up to God, and God blessed that preacher as she asked God to protect him and to bless him. And she may be the one carrying all the crowns. Billy Sunday, an old preacher of the past, he said this. Billy Sunday said, "When I get to heaven, I'll expect to see some old gray-haired woman who taught a ragged Sunday school class and prayed faithfully for her boys and girls. She'll probably get more rewards than I will." I'm just saying that we have this warped perspective of how God rewards. And I say to you, God rewards the faithful. And where you are and what you have, not what you don't have, but what you have, God rewards the faithful. And we notice in this passage of Scripture the reward awaiting, but also we notice from the life of Paul the reach of the promise. He said, wait a minute, this crown is not just for me, it's for all of those who love his appearing, who are faithful, and who serve. Can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Notice the words of Paul the apostle again to the church of Corinth. He says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That a woman be found faithful. And I commend your faithfulness. And I encourage you to keep on running that race that is set before you. To be faithful with all that God has given to you today. The influence that you have as a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher, a church member. All that influence that you have will outlive you. It will outlive you. Grandchildren need to see that heaven is real, eternity matters, and finishing well is worth it. And they can see it in your life. Our priorities and our purpose and our passion and our prayers. And Paul's life reminds us that starting well is important. But finishing well is essential. God help us to finish well. Grandparents, your race is not over until God calls you home. God still has purpose for you on this earth. If you are here, God still has purpose for you. And so I encourage you to fight faithfully, to run your course, to keep the faith, and to look forward to the crown. And one day may your children and grandchildren say of you, "Hey, I may not have always agreed with mom and dad, but I'll tell you this, they finished well and they believed what they said." Paul fought the fight. Stay faithful through trials and difficulties. He finished the course, completing the journey with consistency. And I think also a faith kept, holding fast to the truth for the next generation. And one day we'll receive a crown from the faithful judge. And that crown that we receive, we'll just lay it at the feet of Jesus for all that he's done for us. God help us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for